As a reminder to our listeners out there, if you have any questions for us that you'd like us to address on Investor IQ, feel free to give us a call at 232-2000 and pose your question. We'll do our best to answer it on the air and even over the phone if you'd like us to, but on the air for sure. Or you could email us. The easiest way to find our email address is just to go to wesselinvestment.com, or you can visit wwnc.com and probably contact us through the station as well. Previous to the break, we were discussing some of the portfolio adjustments that we have been recently making with respect to our expectation that interest rates may eventually rise due to the specter of an increasingly inflationary environment. So we discussed the fact that we were sticking to the shorter end of the investment spectrum with respect to the maturity of our bonds. We've been doing some other things as well, and I'd like to talk a little bit about securities that are called Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, or TIPS. Rob, why don't you give that a whirl and try to explain that?
So they're bonds that are issued by our government, or in some cases foreign governments, where they're actually linked to inflation. So they take usually CPI and make an adjustment to the bond face value.
The consumer price index.
Right, yeah. For that.
So they have, I guess it would be fair to say that they break out the interest component from the inflation adjustment. So let's just take a quick example and assume that inflation spikes up to 10% per year, just create a crazy number. How would that work?
So they would have a base rate that would be something maybe 1 or 2%, and then they would have that inflation adjustment so that the bond face value would go up by 10%.
That's right. So it's a classic inflation hedge. So if you don't have inflation to any great degree, you're not going to earn very much on these securities. But if it does spike, there would be at least a portion of your portfolio that would be pretty much set up to withstand that.
Right.
What about the sovereign debt? We've made some shifts recently into debt issued by other countries. Explain what sovereign debt is. And maybe we'll get into some of the reasons that we've made that shift.
Sovereign debt is debt issued by other governments, foreign countries. So it would be it would have a risk in addition to the normal risks that are involved, where they can have the ability not to repay the debt, as well as not be able to repay the debt,
or maybe lack the willingness.
Right.
There have been countries in the past where they've just seized assets.
Mm-hmm.
That we just went through that with the oil majors down in South America, where they had their assets seized, and I think that was Venezuela. Is that right?
Yes, right.
That's right. So when it comes to sovereign debt, there are actually several arguments to maybe own sovereign debt. One would be the falling dollar. So as we continue to run these budget deficits, other countries like China, which happens to own around $800 billion of U.S. debt, has to continue buying that debt. When it does, it purchases dollars, first of all, right, Rob?
Right.
But what happens if China decides that it no longer has an appetite to purchase as much debt? It won't purchase our dollars on the currency markets, first of all, right?
Right.
And that will
cause our dollar to fall.
That's right. So the dollar would be under possibly long-term pressure to the extent that these other countries lose their willingness to finance our spendy ways.
Sure.
So if that comes to fruition, it makes it easier for U.S. investors to make money on their holdings because, first of all, when you own bonds that are denominated in foreign dollars, when you repatriate that money back into U.S. currency, explain how that happens, Rob.
Sure. As you repatriate those funds, then you are getting actually more dollars as the dollar is decreasing in value. Mm-hmm. So your foreign dollars would be, or foreign currency would be able to buy more U.S. goods.
That's right. So if you own these foreign bonds, because they're in that foreign currency and that foreign currency is appreciating versus our currency, when you go to convert it back into U.S. dollars, you get more dollars because it takes more dollars to fit into that foreign currency. So you get what we call a currency tailwind.
Right.
Which has really nothing to do with the underlying investment itself. It's just, you know, you can fly your jet with the wind, or you can fly your jet against the wind. And wherever possible, you try to fly with the wind at your back, I guess. So that would be one aspect. But there's another aspect that comes into play. Some of these countries, they actually pay these bonds in dollars, right?
Yes.
So explain how that would be beneficial to an investor in foreign bonds.
So a dollar-denominated foreign bond would tend to go up in value if the dollar goes down, because it makes it easier for that government to repay the dollar-denominated debt.
That's right. And what implication would that have on the credit quality of those bonds?
The credit quality could increase over time.
It could increase because they're having an easier time repaying that debt. So the bottom line is, if you buy a bond and it's rated at, let's say, A or double A, and it's later increased a notch to triple A, typically, all else being equal, the value of that bond is going to go up, because the yield hasn't changed, but it's more creditworthy, so it's going to command a higher price. So there could be not only the currency impact, but there could also be an impact from possible credit changes as well, right?
Right.
How about the fact that the Fed at some point, which is an independent entity, might actually end up purchasing some of the bonds that are issued by the Treasury? What would that be all about, Rob?
Sure, that would be monetizing the debt, is what they call that, and that would tend to increase inflation.
That's right. So if things get really ugly and the Treasury can't sell its bonds to China or other foreign countries or U.S. investors, it will actually possibly have its bonds sold to the Federal Reserve, which will print money in effect just to buy those bonds. And then once again, you have an expansion of the money supply, but the economy hasn't expanded. So you have too many dollars chasing too few goods, which starts the whole cycle of the inflation expectation. So anyway, that's an inside look at some of the things that we're doing at our offices to try to hedge our clients' portfolios against inflation. My name is Glenn Wessel. This is Investor IQ. Our goal here every Saturday morning is to try to give investors a fair shake and to make sure that we discuss things just as objectively as possible about how things really work. So be sure to tune in next week and join us again. Thank you.